now, your hosts for Life from the Pulpit, here's Nick Perez.
Yes, and how's it? And welcome to the new era of eloquence and exposition. This is Live from the Pulpit, the fastest half-hour podcast in the West. Live and local, on location at Merced Church of Christ, deep in the heart of the Central Valley, offering up news and views you can use on Scripture and society, with a little help from my friends. I am your host for this half-hour journey into theology and other sundry matters, the voice of the Valley, Nick Perez. Greetings and welcome to the program. Emo Phillips tells this joke, and if you haven't seen Emo Phillips, you haven't seen his any of his comedy, he's got a very unique and distinctive style. It's weird. Once I was in San Francisco. It's kind of how he talks. You could actually watch this joke. He tells this joke on YouTube. And at any rate, this is the joke. He says, once when I was in San Francisco, walking along the Golden Gate Bridge, I saw this guy on the bridge about to jump. I said, don't do it. He said, nobody loves me. And I said, that's not true. God loves you. Don't you believe in God? He said, yes. I said, are you a Christian or a Jew? He said, a Christian. I said, me too. Protestant or Catholic? He said, Protestant. I said, me too. What franchise? He said, Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist? He said, Northern Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist or Northern Conservative Reform Baptist? He said, Northern Conservative Reform or Fundamentalist Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region or Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Eastern Region? He said, Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1879 or Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912? He said, Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. I said, die, heretic, and I pushed him over the edge. It's funnier when Emo Phillips tells it, but that was voted the funniest religious joke of all time back in 2005. And as they say, there's a bit of truth behind every joke. How many of our brothers and sisters are we pushing off the bridge of faith because we disagree with them? I'm not talking about agreeing with those who are in the denominational realm. I'm talking about right here in the Church of Christ. What do we do typically when we disagree with one another? I know what we've done traditionally. I know what we've done historically. We draw lines in the sand. Terms are thrown around like liberals and digressives, antis. We talk about sound brethren who stand for truth versus those who aren't holding to the pattern and are on the slippery slope and they don't really respect the authority of Scripture. What happens when a congregation has a praise team and one of their brethren meets a brother from a church whose church doesn't have praise teams? Typically, the conversation goes something along the lines of, well, if you will give up your innovation, here's the person who just has a song leader versus a praise team. When you give up your innovation, then we can have fellowship. But then he starts talking to another brother from a different congregation. And that brother doesn't have Bible school. So you know what he's going to tell the fellow who doesn't have a praise team but does have Bible school? Don't you know that the home is the place where kids are supposed to be educated in the things of the Lord? Unless you give up your innovation, we can't have fellowship. But even he will talk to somebody who doesn't support orphans' homes out of the church budget. You see, he does. He doesn't have Bible school, but they do support orphans' homes or a television program or some kind of ministry like that. And you know what this fellow here, this non-institutional brother, what he's going to say? He's going to say, you've got to give up your innovation. You're not standing for the truth. You're not standing on the word. You really don't respect the authority of Scripture, and you need to give up your innovation. Then we can have fellowship with each other. But it just so happens he talks to another brother where at their congregation they only have one cup. Haven't you read? He took the cup. What are you doing here with your multiple cups? That's a digression in the wrong direction. You're on a slippery slope. Today it's multiple cups, and tomorrow you've got musical instruments in the worship or something. You don't really respect the authority of Scripture. If you did, you'd be like us with just one cup. We're holding to the pattern. And you need to give up your innovation, then we can have fellowship. But then he'll talk to somebody where they don't have a located preacher. No, you need to mutually edify one another in the body. You're one of those located preacher type, huh? Well, you give up your innovation, then we can have fellowship. But then he'll talk to somebody who does not have a church building. Where do you get authority for a church building? Well, that's another one of those innovations, and unless you give up your innovation, we can't have fellowship with one another. And oh, by the way, that brother who doesn't have a building is going to talk to another brother who does have a building. They also have a fellowship hall. You eat in your building? Haven't you read? Don't you have homes to eat in? There's all these liberals and digressives that are out there. They're not sound. They're not standing for truth. And there are a number of other issues like this, aren't there? Just pick them. There's marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What happens when we don't speak the same language about that? Die, heretic! The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Non-institutional issues like supporting orphans' homes, preaching schools, television shows, and the like. All that out of the church budget, of course. Celebrating holidays. Oh, you guys celebrate Christmas in your house? Easter was just the other day. You guys observe Easter? Don't you know all the pagan roots that are involved in that? Tattoos, people disagree about that. What kind of clothing is appropriate for worship? People disagree about that. Is it okay for a Christian to have a drink of alcohol? Christians, we disagree about a lot of stuff. Head coverings. Oh man. Most preachers don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. That's the present state of chaos in the churches of Christ today. And it is chaotic. I mean, you grab our directory. Have you seen the Church of Christ directory that we have? That's put together, what is it, every 3 years? And you'll notice there's a key inside the front cover which tells you these are one cuppers, these are non-institutional, this is the black congregation, they have a Hispanic work, they have deaf work, they have some have instrumental music. That's all part of the key in the front cover is what I'm saying. There's chaos. That's the trouble in our world. The fortunate thing is that we serve a God who brings order out of chaos. We see this right from the very first chapter of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. That's language of chaos. Yes, you have the Spirit of God who's hovering. He's brooding over the face of the waters, but there's chaos. Without form, void, darkness, chaos. And into this chaos, God speaks His word and order comes. Verse 3, God said. Verse 6, God said. Verse 9, God said. Verse 11, God said. Verse 14, God said. Verse 20, God said. Verse 24, God said. Verse 26, God said. Over and over and over, you see, He speaks and order comes. He is a God who speaks and brings order out of chaos. The question is, does God's word speak order into the chaos, which is the present reality of the churches of Christ? I believe He does. Absolutely He does. Romans 14 and 15 are the chapters where we come across trouble back in the day, trouble in the text. There was chaos that had the potential to rend asunder the body of Christ. You see, back in their day, they didn't have all the contemporary issues that are so volatile in our time, like praise teams and multiple cups and in worship and fellowship halls and buildings and such. They had issues that were equally volatile, which people had very deep and strong convictions about. In fact, Paul, no less than four times, and probably more than that, because it spills over into chapter 15, Paul speaks to these disagreements, and he says, you know what, that's their faith. Verse 1 talks about the one who is weak in faith. Verse 2, one person believes he may eat anything. Verse 22, the faith that you have. Verse 23 talks about whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. And then it's, again, chapter 15 talks about the strong and the weak. So, yeah, all this business of faith. We come to this chapter and we see matters of opinion. For them, these were deeply held convictions and beliefs. It was their faith. And if something didn't proceed from faith, it was sin to them. What kind of things are we talking about? Things that we today look back on and we think, don't they understand? We, by virtue of time, have been enlightened and we know better now about meat and days. But back then, These were their marriage, divorce, remarriage issues. These were their fellowship hall. These were their multiple versus single cup issues. Celebrating holidays sounds very familiar to the day's stuff. And Paul mentions specifically two issues, meat and days, and how these things kind of shake out are you end up with four different groups. You see, you've got the one group that says, yeah, we can eat meat, no problem. And days ain't nothing but a thing. And then you had another brother who said, yeah, meat, no problem. I'm with you. Let's grab a pork sandwich together. But when it comes to that days business, that's an innovation. You need to give that thing up, and then we can have fellowship with one another. But then you had another group, or at least one person who said, now, wait a minute, you boys. I can get with you on the days stuff, Mr. Meat and Days. But as far as this meat business, you're both dead wrong. You aren't standing for truth. You're not sounding the faith. And you need to give up your innovation. And then we can have fellowship. And then you had the last guy who was like, die, heretic, to all the rest. He's like, meat, days, uh-uh. Just get that stuff away from me. And And these things, they were very volatile. They had the potential to tear the body of Christ apart in the church in Rome, the city of Rome. Now, I could be wrong. I assume the situation is the same in your town as it is in our town. Here in the city of Merced, we have three congregations of the Lord's body. We have two more up the road in Atwater. And I would wager dollars to donuts, if I were a betting man, that the reason that there are these five congregations in Merced Atwater is because somewhere along the timeline, someone came along, and because of their belief, their understanding, even their opinion, or maybe even their personality expressing itself as a doctrinal disagreement, that superseded unity, it superseded love, it superseded the work of God. Unity took a back seat to someone else's faith. When this occurs, we handicap ourselves and we hinder the work of God. And again, I would assume it's the same wherever you live, that there's more than one congregation, and it's the result of some just. Now, granted, we planted one of the congregations up in Atwater several years ago. I think it was back in the 60s. But you know what's happened is that congregation has become sort of a catch-all for those who disagree here. And we vice versa. If someone gets in a disagreement there, guess where they're going to come? They're going to start attending here in Merced. That's how this kind of stuff works. Same thing with the congregation up the street here in Merced. Someone gets upset, gets hot, about something that they're willing to die on the hill for, and as you know, they're ready to birth kittens over this thing. They get upset, they get hot, they're going down the road, and hey, die heretic on the way out the door, maybe. We're just not good with this stuff. We're not. We throw stones through the windows as we're leaving. We get upset, we get hot, we say things we shouldn't say, things that we'll regret later. Unity takes a back seat. Love gets kicked to the curb. The work of the Lord suffers. Traditionally, historically, what have we done when we disagree? We split. We divide the body asunder. We condemn those who disagree with us. They're a bunch of dishonest dum-dums who really don't know Scripture. They don't respect the Word. They don't respect truth. They're unsound. They're unbiblical. Die heretic, and the most conservative brother or sister or group, they get to take the church building with them. Now, that's what we do, and that's the chaos into which I am presenting these. I want to lay down some basic rules and some basic assumptions with all these things in terms of how I'm going to discuss this, okay? I'm going to do that in just a moment. But first, this half hour brought to you by Sunset International Bible Institute, located in beautiful Lubbock, Texas. SIBI seeks to train whole persons to communicate the whole gospel to the whole world, wholly to please God. With a gifted staff of teachers who value the Word of God, who value the Church of Christ, and who value the lost of the world, SIBI offers and provides the best biblical training anywhere. Go online and visit sibi.cc or call 1-800-658-9553, Sunset International Bible Institute. Training men and women for over 50 years. Again, let me lay down some ground rules here, and then we'll, if time permits, I'll dig into a little bit of the text here. First of all, I want you to know I am not arguing any position. I am neither condoning nor condemning any of these positions. Quite frankly, I don't want to argue about them because there's just too many of them. And I think we probably pretty well know our own position on most, if not all, of these particular issues. So that's rule number one. Not going to argue a position. There's a time for that. It can be done some other time. I'm not going to do that here. Time is limited. I want to use it as wisely as possible. Second assumption is that the debate, the discussion has been had. The positions have been articulated. In some cases, perhaps on both sides of the issue, very well. But we still disagree on some point of faith, some point of doctrine. Now what? Paul tells these brethren in Romans 14 and verse 15, each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. And once we get to that point and we still have a disagreement, now what? Again, I know what we've traditionally done historically as a movement. We have divided. I'm just wondering if that's biblical. Another assumption, number three, is, as I said earlier, I'm not talking about denominationalism. I'm not talking about, you know, what do we do when we disagree with a Baptist or a Lutheran or a Methodist or a Catholic? That's an entirely different discussion and animal for another time. This is regarding us. What do we do when we disagree in the body, the Church of Christ? Fourth assumption, and this is a big one, and it's going to show up in the text here when we start walking through it. Everyone involved in the disagreement believes that the Bible is the Word of God, that Jesus is the Son of God. They're not denying the virgin birth. They believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ. Baptism is essential for salvation. They have a heart to know God just as much as the next brother, okay? So that should dispense with the dishonest rhetoric, okay? A bunch of dishonest whatever, okay? No, no, no. These people are just as sincere, just as honest, as desirous as you are to follow God. But you still disagree. Not denying the authority of Scripture, not denying that it's the Word of God, not denying Jesus came in the flesh and He is God in the flesh. None of that. We disagree on some point of faith, some point of doctrine even. What do we do then? Can we disagree without dividing? Can we disagree without disfellowshipping? Does God's grace forgive our intellectual errors? Because that's the other thing, isn't it? When it comes to this stuff, we want to know who's right. And we end up engaging in what Flavel Yakely Jr. calls a duologue, in which you have two people monologuing right past each other, not talking to each other, versus that stands in opposition to a non-manipulative dialogue where I'm given a little, you're given a little, we're seeking to understand one another. In terms of what we believe and what we think. So, again, what do we do when we disagree? Again, the Brotherhood has had some problems when deciding what to do when a problem arises. You see, if we're saved, that means we're in fellowship with God. And if there's another person that is saved, he is in fellowship with God, and therefore we together are in fellowship with one another. If vertical lines of fellowship have been opened up, horizontal lines of fellowship naturally exist. We're in fellowship with them by definition. We're in fellowship with every saved person on the face of the planet. Something we need to know is that this problem of when we disagree and what we do when we disagree, it's not a unique problem. We tend to think it is, but getting along, staying in fellowship, it's something that universally does afflict the body of Christ. What must we do when we run into things upon which we do not agree? Now, don't misunderstand. I do believe that there are things we need to get right. In Jude, there were men who were distorting the grace of God into a lifestyle. They had perverted the gospel. They were denying Jesus as the only sovereign. And we're exhorted to snatch others from the fire because they bought into that false teaching. So there's that. Galatians 5 and verse 4, you can be severed from Christ by appealing to a legal system for justification. 2 John verses 9 through 11, when we talk about those who run ahead in the doctrine of Christ, what is the doctrine of Christ? Back up. The answer's in the text. Verse 9. These people who are running around spouting anti-Christian doctrine, specifically denying that Jesus came in the flesh, when we cannot deny the humanity or the deity of Jesus and be saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you have open rebellion to the will of God, and it's very gross and very immoral. A man has his father's wife. We have things pertaining to division. Verses 17 and 18 of Romans 16 talk about a person who's not truly surrendered to the Lord and who is divisive and imposing his own desires, or at least attempting to. Titus chapter 3, verses 9 through 11, divisive people, they're arguing over stuff that doesn't matter, and they stand self-condemned in their attempt to condemn others. Breaking fellowship with someone, disfellowshipping, for one, that's a last resort, and it ultimately comes as a result of knowing that God has severed ties with that person. And there are steps in that process that Jesus has prescribed. Ephesians chapter 4, we have seven ones that we are to rally around. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who's over all, through all, and in all. Now get busy building up the body is kind of the impression you get there. So again, there are things, certain things that we need to keep in order to maintain unity, but there are other things that, quite frankly, there's latitude, and we need to be gracious, and we need to be humble. Again, what happens when we disagree? These people in Rome, as we approach Romans 14 and 15, they were doing things that they had very deep convictions about. It was from their faith that they were doing these things. Faith comes by hearing, right? So these are things they had heard, they had been taught, they had studied on their own. And so they were doing them as a result of their convictions. They were doing them in sincerity to God, out of a good and pure heart. And you had issues with meat. Now, from a Jewish perspective, maybe it could have been a Jewish person coming out of Judaism into Christianity. He has trouble eating meat, eating certain kinds of meat like pork. I can't eat that pork sandwich because there's still something lingering from Judaism. On the Greek side, come out of an idolatrous background, and they sold meat at bargain discount prices in the agora, the market there. And here's this meat. It was sacrificed to idol, but it's really nothing. But the thing is, for this Gentile who's come out of that, he's like, that's a big deal to me. I can't get there. Meanwhile, there's this other Jewish man going, an idol's nothing. Pass me that brisket or whatever it was, right? The Gentile's like, I can't get there. So maybe that's the result. Same thing with the days. You had Jewish days and Gentile days and things like the pagan holidays. And I can't get there. And there were others who were like, who cares? I have liberty now that I'm in Christ. There's freedom. Christ has set me free. If I'm going to do these things, I'm going to do it in honor to the Lord. That's verses 6 and 7 of Romans 14. That's what they're doing. They're doing it in honor to the Lord out of sincerity and respect and reverence to God. Again, don't impugn the motives of your brother. So what do we do, Paul? What do we do when we disagree? There are good brethren on both sides of the issue. The arguments have been made very convincingly. We look at these issues and we think they're all so easy. But they were equally volatile as the issues today, which are complicated for us. Maybe there's some brethren 2,000 years in the future who look back on our stuff and go, are you kidding me? What do we do, Paul? What do we do? We'll broach that next time. I'm out of time. Feel free to leave a comment on the website. Always like to hear what you have to say. Search Facebook for the Life from the Pulpit Facebook page. Like the page. You'll get all the updates when I go live with a podcast. Update the blog or post a new video on YouTube. Speaking of YouTube, search YouTube, Life from the Pulpit. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And that's where I post the Question of the Day segments. Follow me on Twitter, @InPulpit, at the letter N as in Nick, Pulpit, P-U-L-P-I-T. Stop by the Life from the Pulpit blog, L-I-F-E, from the pulpit.wordpress.com. All of my commentary there on Luke, James, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, John, now Philippians, all there, all available, all free for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. Now on iTunes, search the iTunes store, Life from the Pulpit, and download all the episodes to your particular iDevice. You'll never be further away than a click from an episode of the podcast. Check out Merced Church of Christ website, mercedchurchofchrist.org. mercedchurchofchrist.org for plenty of sermon audio, stuff to help you grow in your daily walk with the Lord. And as always, brethren, grace be with you all. Thanks for listening.